You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Michaela Wunsch. She's in Berlin right now. Michaela, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much. Hi.
So let's talk about what you're working on now, Michaela. I know you're in Berlin. What is it at the moment that you're involved in or working on?
At the moment, a research scholar at the Institute for Cultural Inquiry. And I'm there with a project on psychoanalysis and science. And I'm working on the influence of physics and mathematics on Freudian and Lacanian psychoanalysis.
That sounds like it would be difficult to sum up, but I'd like to explore that a little bit. How will that, you're the scholar there, so you'll be writing a paper on all of this, I imagine.
Yes, currently I'm just planning this week. There will be a symposium and a workshop, and I invited some scholars, among them Jean-Claude Milner, who wrote a very famous book on this topic, Lacan and Sciences and Philosophy, and I will also have some people from the state, like Kenneth Reinhardt from UCLA, and Samo Tomšić from Ljubljana. He worked with Slavoj Žižek before. And Monique David-Menard from Paris. She's a psychoanalyst as well. Yeah, so this will be a conference between, I also have a mathematician from the Humboldt University in Berlin. So this will be a pretty much an interdisciplinary workshop with people from different fields, mathematics, psychoanalysis, philosophy, and comparative literature.
So tell me a little bit about how that will move forward. I want to talk to you about some of that without trying to get into all of it. But what do you expect to happen at this conference? We're going to be talking about all these subjects. They're going to be talking about all of this, but you'll be moderating. Is that what your role will be there?
Yes, I organize it. I will moderate it, and I also will speak about two specific questions I'm interested in. One thing is the question of contingency and chance in the field of psychoanalysis. So my question is, and I don't know if your audience is familiar to that since Sigmund Freud,
I think some are, some aren't. But yeah, let's talk about your question then. Yeah, please go on.
Yeah. Okay. So already Sigmund Freud referred a lot to what we call now sciences or natural sciences, but psychoanalysis itself was never acknowledged as a science. So when he refers to physics, for instance, to entropy or to thermodynamics, I asked myself, why did he do this? Because he didn't really expect psychoanalysis to be a science. And later in the 50s, 60s, it was the same with the French psychoanalyst, Jacques Lacan, who referred a lot to cybernetics and mathematics, but even less than Sigmund Freud to prove that psychoanalysis is a science. So my question is, what do they have in common, science and psychoanalysis? And they're both interested in contingency, in what is not predictable in a way, what like quantum physics, like Albert Einstein, like probability theory. So both have the same interest in what we now can call the real or contingency.
And by contingency, just to be clear, that's a type of predictive behavior or predictive outcome?
No, it's the opposite. It's what is not predictable. So this may be also interesting because people might think that science or natural sciences are what is predictable, But also on the opposite, science is also very interested in what is not predictable, but of course how to predict the unpredictable. I mean, yeah, game theory.
Exactly, which is difficult, but that of course makes sense, and that is in your thesis. That's how it relates to the sciences. That's your question. And will that be the main question that's explored in this event?
Yeah, we will have a look at different mathematics and mathematics theories like Bourbaki's, for instance, or Gottlob Frege was very influential to psychoanalysis. And I mean, I'm not a mathematician, so I don't know enough about mathematics and why they are, for instance, interested in the unpredictable. What exactly, how do they try to solve it? And if, for instance, psychoanalysis use these examples, for instance, the question, is it accurate? Is it correct, the use of mathematics and psychoanalysis, or is it just like, I mean, you maybe know the famous book by Sokal. Is it just like nonsense what Sokal, for instance, said about Lacanian psychoanalysis? So this is the question, so how correct is it? But yeah, another is a clinical question. I mean, it's the psychoanalyst has a patient, and the patient talks a lot from session to session. It's also not predictable when something important might come up. So this is also a question of contingency, but also, like, how could it be maybe predictable? For instance, Jacques Lacan said that the chance, I mean, the psychoanalyst asked the patient to say something without any purpose, but in the end, you can only wait for chance or for unpredictable statements, but you also tell something just what comes into your mind, but of course no one really does, because if you are told to say something that you not know, it's a paradox. Of course.
Right.
So maybe the paradox is also like the predictability of the unpredictable. Maybe both fields of knowledge have the same problem or the same paradox.
Well, and that sounds, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds like it will also relate to the practice of making art in many cases. And I know you taught media studies and Does this theory and what we're discussing also find its way into artist studios in your mind?
In artist studios?
Yeah, all of these things. I mean, it's especially with the notion of, you know, as strange as it is, unpredictability. You know, this is kind of that's sort of what artists are after in a way, right? We want something not predictable. We want a little magic happening there, but we want to be able to rely on that at the same time.
Yes, you're absolutely right. For instance, one field of knowledge or one term I'm especially interested in is entropy. And entropy not only has been used in thermodynamics and in cybernetics and in information theory, but also a lot by artists. Robert Smithson, for instance, wrote a text about entropy. And this is, what you just said, the same thing, that something magic might happen in art, something that you can't predict. But on the other side, theories of entropy, for instance, say, there's a growing chaos in our world, or there's the heat death that we are going to. And another author who wrote about this in the field of art was Rudolf Arnheim, and he said that art, on the one side, sets up orders and it sets up like the beautiful and so on. But on the other side, art is also very interested in the opposite of that, like in decay, in the unpredictable, in chance, in magic, and in something that you can't explain with a rationalist view. So entropy, for instance, was also, and it's again a topic in art theory, especially because art also uses science recently a lot. I just saw an installation in Frankfurt in Germany where someone produced like waves, more or less. It was a machine-like installation where some biological fluids have been produced, but it was also like a self-regulated system. And other artists have been interested in that as well, like self-regulation. Like they don't influence the processes, they set it up once. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right, right. And then, that excuse me, that makes sense where it intersects. Now, you also teach media philosophy, but also queer and critical race studies. You're involved.
Yes.
Is there? It doesn't come to mind to me immediately how that interacts with everything. But can we talk a little bit about that? How you approach queer and critical race studies?
I mean, I just taught a class last weekend in Vienna, and I mean, in critical race studies or in gender studies, for instance, we also have like two opposite positions on this scientific view, maybe. I don't know if you know John Kopchak. She, for instance, also refers to the mathematician Gottlob Frege to speak about sexual difference. And sexual difference, you might regard as something like what was already there in a biological sense, or like Judith Butler criticized it, like we assume that it was a biological essence, but then we have gender and sexual difference do not relate to each other anymore. And from a more mathematician perspective, this is not what sexual difference is about. Sexual difference is about what you can't really think within the realm of language. And also, Steve, I now invited Jean-Claude Milner. He said, actually, science is a sexual technique. And
So explain that a little bit, the relationship to science and sexuality. That's very interesting. What
yeah.
You meant right there.
This is, for instance, an idea that you can't grasp sexual difference within verbal language. And this would be maybe a similar thing as Judith Butler would say. But this is because science is about a materiality that you can explain within language, but you need these formulas, you have to say it in another language than verbal language. And this is the similarity between sexual difference and numbers, for instance. It's also the limit of language, I would say. Language in the sense that language represents something. So it's more or less the limit of representation.
It does make sense. I know it's difficult to talk about and especially to talk about it briefly, but that's making sense because it's also, you know, as I'm looking at this, you know, from an artist's point of view, all these ideas, you know, feed artists and potentially feed visual media of some kind or as well as writing. Mm. And so at the moment you're about to start teaching again, or you're not teaching now because it's the summer?
Yeah, I taught just last weekend in Vienna in the Media Studies department, and I will also teach at the Academy of Fine Arts in Braunschweig. It's a smaller German city. And I will speak, maybe this is interesting for you as an artist. I don't know if you know the artist Warren Nydick from Los Angeles.
Yes, I interviewed him as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I will teach at his SASFE summer school, summer institute in Berlin as well in July.
And you were one of the professors there. You taught there?
Yes, I will. It happened this year in Berlin. Yeah. So I will also teach there at the end of July or mid-July.
Very good, because I was going to ask what's next, and so you'll be teaching there in the end of July, and continue to work with artists on these topics of entropy, Freud to Lacan, and as well as science and psychoanalysis. This is what will lecture on this summer as well.
Yes, yeah. Actually, what I just spoke about. The ideas about sexual difference and science. I will teach at Warren's SASFE summer school. Yes.
Very good. And it's exciting to talk to you. I feel like we could, of course, talk for hours about this. But I wanted to ask you, before we go, what books you're reading now, which I imagine are particularly interesting, but are there any books at the moment that you're reading that you'd want to share with us?
Yeah, currently I'm reading this book by Jean-Claude Lemaire. I don't think it's translated into English. It's about Lacan and science. And I read a lot about entropy, Rudolf Arnheim, Max Painter. Yeah. These are the books
desk. Right, because entropy is something that you're moving into much more now, which seems to me the most I don't know a lot about entropy, haven't read about it, but it strikes me as the most chaotic. It strikes me as an idea where things simply can't come back together again once they've separated. But I know it's of course much more than that.
Also wrote an essay, I don't know, already in the 70s. There was a broader interest in entropy, and just in the Eflux journal, there was also an article by Anna Pinto on entropy, more from an historical perspective.
Very interesting. Yeah, I'll try to link to some of those things in this interview. I want to thank you so much, Michaela, for talking with me today. You're involved in a lot of exciting things this summer, and I'm glad you shared them with me today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the interview.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.